shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I am joined here by this week. Let's do it. You know what? I'm going to go right back. For a movie I think we did tease, the 2017 Thomas Cruise The Mummy movie. And I'm joined by Cody Wolf.
I just realized that there's no memorable lines from this film.
There's none.
I don't think.
There's nothing. In fact, huge portions of the movie happen with no dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, I could quote the line they took from Bride of Frankenstein, but I won't pay it justice.
Jack Estabrook.
Nick.
And Nick.
Nick. Nick.
And Nick Newhart.
Who I'm really hoping the writers of An American Werewolf in London got a big kickback for this movie.
Oh, my Lord.
This
and that was the best part of the movie.
When a movie makes you wish you were watching another movie, that's a bad sign.
Oh, when a movie is openly imitating another movie.
Yeah. This is, I think, a perfect movie for this podcast, because as I was watching it, I was like, whoa, I need to talk about this movie that $185 million, I believe, was spent on. Like, it needs to be discussed.
Uh-huh. And it was that the beginning of the Dark Universe that Universal was trying to produce. The
beginning?
I think the Alpha Omega here.
The Dark Universe title card, I think, was the most fantastical part of this movie.
Yes.
I saw they actually had like a logo for the Dark Universe before the first Dark Universe movie. Like, okay.
And that's what we call putting the cart before the horse. Yes.
This is the second time Universal's done it, because the Dracula...
It was an early attempt, yeah.
They were planning on that being part of the Dark Universe, and then when that movie flopped, they're like, just kidding. That's not part of the Dark Universe. So then they did this. This flopped, and the Dark Universe seems to be on hold.
Well, does this count? Well, I was going to say, does this count as a movie that opens? I was asking Nick, does this count as a movie that opens with a shot of the Earth? I know the Universal logo is the Earth, but this movie, the Dark Universe logo kind of, I guess it bled into another logo.
Then it went into another logo. Yeah.
But my thought is that either trying this Dark Universe thing with the Universal monsters. The Mummy just seems like a weird one to start with.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Yeah. I mean, I know they've done Dracula and Frankenstein and it's failed because they don't do it.
But I would agree with you 100%. Why would you start? The only weirder one to start with would have been Phantom of the Opera. I mean, that's... So you chose the second weirdest choice.
Yeah. I mean, even like a Creature of the Black Lagoon. We haven't seen a Creature of the Black Lagoon movie in a long time.
I always felt of the old Universal movies that The Mummy was just kind of the least interesting.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I just watched it recently.
I can walk away at a brisk pace. I'm safe.
Yep.
Well, the first Mummy, I mean, you've seen the Boris Karloff, the original Mummy.
It's been a long time.
Because the first Mummy is...
Way back in...
He's not like a mummy throughout the whole movie.
He progressively becomes human.
He comes back as a mummy, and then like... It cuts to like 10 years later, and he's just like a guy who looks kind of weird. But it's basically
Boris Karloff.
He's got like his face is just a little like.
I'm actually gonna go out there, and I love the Universal Monsters. I'm gonna say that the first Universal Monsters Mummy movie is actually not good.
I don't
like it very much.
I tried to watch it when I was a kid, and I got super bored and stopped watching it.
Yeah.
Then I watched it this past October again, and I was like, okay, yeah, I enjoyed it more. It is kind of a little slow, and it's basically Dracula. It's like the same exact movie as the original Dracula.
Yeah.
It's even got the same guy in it, Edward Van Sloan, who plays like the same character.
Yeah.
But it just seems like a weird choice for the first, especially when it's like people aren't like I wasn't thinking the original Mummy when they said they were going to do this movie. I was thinking the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Yeah.
Like they're remaking the Brendan Fraser Mummy is basically what I thought it's more of
an adventure flick than a horror movie.
Kind of. Well, I kind of thought like, well, maybe they're going to remake it as sort of like a little the Brendan Fraser one, but a little bit more of a Hammer Mummy movie, which I think were pretty successful in.
But
some
those
ways.
Are those are what Nick was just saying, where it's like there's just a mummy walking around, and if you walk fast, you know.
The Mummy is basically a beta version of like Michael Myers in those Hammer movies.
Jeez.
All right, so to start with this movie, and thank God I took notes, because constantly lost. But
well, they explain everything, right? So we're seeing the setup. But this is the thing, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of exposition.
There's a lot of
yeah.
unnecessary narration.
Yeah, and there's right?
And this is another thing that I don't get. Like, there was a lot in this opening scene. I'm just going to jump right in.
Yeah.
So we're told the story of this Egyptian princess. She's promised the crown. Was that Olivia Wilde in there somewhere?
No.
I swear to God, I saw her in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there's this fight going on, and they're showing that there's this power struggle. Her father has a son. She wants to be queen. So she's going to kill her father and kill the baby so she can become queen. Now, that's okay, I guess, if you're talking about like a seedy...
But that's not where the movie starts.
Okay. So
she sells her soul to the devil to do this?
Patricide and infanticide are okay.
Well, can I also just say, too,
that... Well, that's standard fare for a movie like this.
Cody is right, because there is a scene before that.
Yeah.
Well, let's do the scene before that, before
going to that. Yeah, okay. Thank you, please.
Yeah, the scene before it is you're this weird... Knights Templar stuff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because you see that, you're like, wait, the mummy.
Yeah, you're like, well, okay. Like, now...
Well, I mean, Egyptian Gods, that movie, was, you know, a movie about Egyptian gods that starred almost exclusively white people. Wow. Yeah. So let's start a movie about an Egyptian monster with a bunch of dead white people.
Yeah.
So,
it's true.
And place most of the movie in... Britain, I think it is.
Isn't yeah.
it?
Most of the whole movie is like in Britain. It's a mummy movie where most of it happens
there's
in London.
There's like, actually, honestly, the only part that takes place in Egypt is
the flashbacks.
Yeah,
no,
that's
correct.
Everything
yes,
else,
that's
everything
true.
In modern day.
That is true.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they find this Knights Templar stuff when they're cutting a train tunnel.
Yeah.
And then Russell Crowe comes busting in. And is like takes over the site. I, by the way, had no idea Russell Crowe was in this movie.
I didn't either.
Like, that was jarring.
I knew he
me.
Was, and I forgot who he was until he said his name. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He showed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's. Oh, I know. I heard who he's supposed
yeah.
to be.
The Nick Fury of the Dark Universe.
Well, I thought that he was just going to be some generic, not generic guy, but a new character who was going to be involved in the Dark Universe. But
Right.
I mean, he is, but he is a character who he shouldn't have been.
So he's taking over that. And then Jack...
There's a flashback that shows how the mummy becomes the mummy.
What Jack described it as arguably more coherent and better told than the flashback we actually got in the movie.
And it makes no sense why she would... So she's a jealous would-be ruler who decides to do a violent coup, kills her father, kills her infant little brother so she could take over. This is sort of par for the course for movies and TV shows like this. You know, this deception and cloak and dagger stuff, and we have to kill everyone so I can take over the throne. Okay, why does she have to... She sells her soul to, like, a demon or the god Set or whatever gain power so she can what? Just walk into their bedroom at night with a knife? What's the advantage of that?
I really... Yeah, that I was confused about.
I was very confused.
It's not like she raised an army to fight her father in open combat.
Never clear what... I would argue it's never clear right up until the end of the movie what she really wants. But her whole goal seems to be to bone the god Set back into existence.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I was like, wow, that's...
Which again,
that's
I don't...
Weird.
Like Jack said, I don't understand. Like if she wanted to be... basically the ruler, all she had to do was kill her father and brother.
Right.
But then we don't have a movie.
We would have been spared
2 hours of misery.
Any other mummy movie, though, is that. Like, they do something wrong, they're mummified, and then there's a curse put on their... And then when their sarcophagus is open, the curse is active. You know what I mean?
Right.
But instead, right from the get-go, she's a monster.
Yeah, she's terrible. And one of my notes here is I'm like, wow, so much voiceover in this backstory, which is done entirely in voiceover. Mm-hmm. As Cody said, like, I didn't understand why we had to have this whole boning Set back into existence, where I'm like, oh, no, she's just terrible. Okay, so she's evil and there's a curse on her and she's buried.
Yeah.
Like, period, end of sentence. But they felt they had to, like, add more...
It feels like that's just every movie. Suicide Squad. It's like, so bad guy wants to bring another bad guy back.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to stop this bad guy from bringing that bad guy. You know what I mean?
And the thing with this story in particular is, this was erased from history. No one knew about it. How the hell do so many people know about it in such amazing detail?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a huge problem with this movie. For something that's erased from history, it seems to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it. You know. Yeah. I don't. That was a crazy line of why that was put in. I didn't. Yeah. So now we go to and I read reviews of this movie this summer that called it a ripoff of an Indiana Jones movie.
It's more like a National Treasure movie.
You know what it really is? I don't know if any of you guys have played this, I would bet every dollar in my wallet that this script started off as a spec script for an Uncharted movie.
Okay.
This is somebody trying to do Nathan Drake from an Uncharted
movie. Yeah, because I never felt, there's only one moment where I felt it was like Indiana Jones, where he's like, we have to, you know, it belongs in a museum, basically, is what he says.
Right.
The Brendan Fraser mummy movie is in Indiana Jones.
Correct.
Yeah. Like 100%.
Yeah.
This movie was, like you said, more of like that kind of Uncharted or a...
It's totally
Tomb
Uncharted.
Raider or something. You know
what I mean? Yeah. And it's like badly done Uncharted, mm-hmm. but it's, yeah, it's, and if you're not a video game person, if you haven't played it, the Uncharted games are amazing. Uncharted 2 is probably the best video game I've ever played, or in the top two or three best video games I've ever played. Nathan Drake is a thief. He has this witty dialogue. He always has people around him who he's kind of is like frenemies with, or like, mm-hmm. like all of the dynamics you're seeing in this movie are the dynamics of an Uncharted game. He's also very good with a gun, and that scene of like, Tom Cruise and the guy from New Girl like blasting their way through that like Iraqi town feels like an Uncharted cutscene. I mean, this is just so Tom Cruise and his army, they're in the army, right?
Yeah, and they have those army haircuts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this was such a strange plot point that never goes anywhere.
They've like wandered off base, basically.
Yeah.
To check out this ancient Mesopotamian
like
area.
Miles off base.
That's like in modern day Iraq, where there are insurgents hold in, and they're like, come on, we got to sneak in and kill all these insurgents so we can find buried treasure.
Yeah, basically, Tom Cruise is like treasure hungry. He's to find treasure.
Yeah.
They're like using the army to do it.
And things go really badly, and they have to call in an airstrike, mm-hmm. The airstrike actually, probably in addition to killing dozens of civilians.
There was a line where he said, all the civilians are out.
Oh,
they
God.
Pulled a, they pulled a
they pulled Batman, Batman versus Superman. Versus Superman.
I remember that. I thought that immediately. He was like, well, there are no civilians down there, so how are we going to justify going in? You know?
Oh,
I was
grief.
Like, okay, well, good. That means when people get killed, they're all bad guys. It's okay.
Good grief. So this airstrike uncovers a temple, and...
Now, why is... Because now, okay, now the general comes in. Why did you make this risky assault? Why the airstrike? They lie to him and say, well, they had we had intel that said they had hostages and we had to do something. And then all of a sudden Tom Cruise's girlfriend shows up and she's like, is she with the army or something?
Yeah,
like she just shows right up.
No, she's part of the, I don't know,
some
she does
antiquities
something
the, saving
yeah. like she, her job is to like save antiquities from the insurgents
from
whatever,
being destroyed
them. Yeah,
I guess. So she would be on there as like a consultant? Like,
but
I was
and
never
this is,
clear.
And this is why it makes no sense to have Tom Cruise's character be in the army. Like, because
he could be
so,
that character.
He could just be that character, or this could have been like an Indiana Jones and Belloc situation, but
well,
Tom
yeah.
Cruise is like the Belloc or something. Like, it didn't. The army. You don't need the army.
I thought
totally inconsequential.
Yeah, I thought the reason for him being in the army would be like he knows how to fight, or he's, you know what I mean? He's good with his hands, but he's like a total putz the entire movie.
Well, it's almost a comic relief character. He's always what? And kind of like
which is
thrown off guard.
I was kind of pleasantly surprised by that, because I thought he would just be like the generic action hero in this movie. And he was like the one thing about the movie I kind of enjoyed.
He's not terrible in the movie.
Yeah.
No.
And it was because he's kind of a putz. He's kind of, you know, a goofy character, but...
So Tom Cruise's sidekick and the archaeologist Jenny... go into this tomb.
Yes.
Decide to go in. And by the way, Tom Cruise is even dressed like Nathan Drake. Like his costume in this scene is literally like, if you look at the cover of like Uncharted game, it's how Nathan Drake is dressed. And they go down into this tomb, and things get kind of weird because they're There's it's loaded with mercury.
Yeah, mercury is dripping from the ceiling.
Mercury is dripping from the ceiling, and the archaeologist lady wants to pull this sarcophagus up. So Nathan like Drake has to solve a little bit of a puzzle in order to activate it and make the level advance. Yeah,
that's what he did.
Oh, sorry, Tom Cruise has to solve a little bit of a puzzle to activate and make the level advance, and her sarcophagus comes out, and it's like the sarcophagus is kind of messing with Tom Cruise
a little bit. Visions. Yeah.
He starts, because I think because he's the one who freed her.
That's okay.
Yeah. So she like starts.
Well, and everyone's really from the Dr. June Moon School of Archaeology in this. Just like, you know, rambling right through. No one's careful with anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll get to it in a minute, but there was something that made me laugh.
I mean, they end up pulling the sarcophagus out. And there's a hilarious scene where this, like, you can't put a, I mean, incredibly valuable sarcophagus is just hanging from the bottom of a helicopter, like swinging around.
So I know they have to do this quick because it's like they have like no time. There's more insurgents coming and they have to get out of there.
Yeah.
So like get the helicopter, pull it out. So then it shows these shots of the helicopter flying with it. I thought like they would pull it out and then put it on a truck or something.
Nope.
Yeah.
But they fly it like across the desert, hanging from a helicopter, swinging around.
Yeah.
So then they land. And then some soldiers, like, grab it and they start, like, pushing it towards a plane. And that's when the Dr. Jenny or whatever is like, no, be careful, be careful. This is, like, 5,000 years old. It's my life's work or my life's research or whatever. It's like, you didn't care when it was swinging around from a freaking helicopter 2 seconds ago.
Think, by the way, how could they have gotten the sarcophagus out of the tomb? Because they would have, how could, with the tools they had, possibly have gotten it over where the shaft.
It's a power battery.
It's not a coincidence they don't show us that process. Yeah. So then, they're like rushing to get it into a cargo jet. Because there's a sandstorm coming and the cargo jet's like barely takes off avoiding. Like, it's just a weird thing of like, why is the sandstorm a threat? Like, they just kind of kept like adding elements to this that felt unnecessary. Well, I think that
they kind of say later on that she was responsible for the sandstorm.
Okay.
Like, she was trying to get them to take off so that she could crash a plane over
England.
But
they were going to take off. They were going to fly it out there anyway. They were going to fly it out there anyway.
Yeah.
Like, any questions you got, the answer is, Mommy did it.
Yeah.
Mommy did it.
So they're on the plane, and Tom Cruise's sidekick starts,
he got bit by some insect. Oh, yeah. While they're in the tomb, there's a couple of spiders, and he literally starts just laying into them with a machine gun.
Right.
And there's like bullets bouncing all over the place, which leads to some, I don't know, unintentional hilarity or pathetic attempt at hilarity. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about this movie's tone, because the first 20, 25-ish minutes of this movie are like kind of adventure film with a lot of like zingers and quips. And then there's a hard stop on that tone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really jarring that this movie loses almost all sense of that lightness and just becomes like a zombie film.
Yeah, well, that's why I said, because Nick sent a message out last night saying like, how am I only an hour into this movie? Or not even an hour in this movie? And I replied like, this, the first hour is the most interesting part. And I feel like the first hour with those two characters, Nick and his friend there, and the band, you know, and then the girl, and it just, that part was kind of interesting and a little kind of fun in parts.
Yeah.
It was working at moments.
I mean, the ironic thing is when I kind of lost interest in the movie was when the mummy came back. And then I was like, I don't care about the mummy really anymore.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much everything with the mummy herself. I just, okay.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
Maybe there's something interesting on my phone. Right?
Yeah. So they're on the plane, and the sidekick who'd been bitten by a spider starts going nuts. And he stabs their army boss, played by the great Courtney B. Vance.
He's trying to cut the straps off from the sarcophagus.
Right,
and the guy, the army boss, wherever he is, comes over. He's like, what are you doing? And he just, like, stabs him. And he's all, like, screwed up. Like, his eyes are white, and he's all, you can tell he's screwed up.
Yeah.
He's cursed.
Yep, and then Tom Cruise pulls a gun out to prevent the other soldiers from shooting his friend.
Well, he steals a gun from one of the other soldiers.
Yeah, he does. And then his lady friend says, well, you know, we're not always shooting anyone. This is a pressurized plane.
Lady friend.
And then he lurches forward with the knife, and Tom Cruise kind of like accidentally shoots him, which I thought was, again, supposed to be kind of funny. Like, whoa, no, stop, this is all right, but bang! Like, he shoots him, and he's like, I guess I just shot him. And he gets up, and oh, no, and he does it again, which I think was kind of clever, but I don't know.
Like, something was lost. Movie. Yeah, whatever they were going for was lost in editing. Yeah. I think you might be right. I think they were going for something.
Like something a little more comical. Like, kind of like a horror movie, like where they kill. Like in Dusk Till Dawn when they kill the vampire and then it explodes. Whoa! Yeah. And they're all just kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like they were trying for that. Like they shoot him and he gets back and they're like, holy crap! And they just kind of like, the jump of surprise causes him to get shot again and like blood goes everywhere and they're kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Like it kind of was like they were trying for that.
And the soldier who Tom Cruise stole his gun moments earlier seems totally cool with it now.
He's like, here's your gun back. Oh, thank you.
I just don't know why they like introduce the idea of don't shoot because it's a pressurized, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, it's not like Goldfinger was like, if you shoot,
right,
something will happen, then something happens.
Yeah. Right, yeah,
it's
nothing
like,
happens.
He shoots three times and nothing. Okay, I guess it's fine.
Yeah. So then the cargo plane they're in gets attacked by a gazillion birds.
Well, first, like, the engine just explodes, I think.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the engine just...
I don't know if that was because of a bird.
Was that just
magic?
Yeah.
Yeah, the plane just kind of shudders and they look out the window and, like, one of the engines is like, on fire.
Yeah.
Mummy did it. Yeah. So they go up to the cockpit, like, what's going on? And then, like, a whole bunch of birds come flying through the windshield of the airplane.
And this cargo jet plane is... You get a sequence
the
that...
The crash sequence, I thought was pretty good, I thought.
It was good.
Really good, and the tension was there, and I really loved the bit where he lets off the parachute, and then he's just kind of sitting there, and you can see the ground getting bigger and bigger as he's, like, got his back to the... Yeah. I thought that was effective.
The only thing I didn't like is that they use this entire scene for, like, the first trailer of the movie, so I'd already seen it. Yeah. Like, the trailer was this scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, the mummy. It's like, I didn't see a mummy there. that was a plane crash.
It's effective kind of on its own, and I liked that they went inside that, like, I always call it, like, the Apollo 13 ship. No, like, the ship where you can lose...
The vomit comet.
And that they did it practically, and I was like, wow, okay, like, way to commit to, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a little confusing to me. Once it becomes apparent that Tom Cruise is going to be in the plane when it... I mean, a cargo jet coming out of cruising altitude crashes into the ground.
Cruising
and I'm like,
altitude.
Cruising.
I recommend that to be the title of Tom Cruise's next film.
Yeah.
Cruising altitude.
And I was like, how are they going to remedy this? And then moments later, it becomes like clear, like, no, they're really not. No. They're just like, that's a cool scene, and moving on.
There had to have been a less ridiculous way to show that he was cursed, but I guess not.
Apparently not. So the plane crashes. Well, and as Jack said, there's this great kind of shot.
I thought that was an effective sequence. I really did. He lets the girl go, which becomes important later on.
Yeah, he saves the girl.
This idea of his true nature. Is he this scumbag or does he actually care about humanity? Because that's why he kind of abandons his post in the military. He steals things for the money, but he lies and says, no, I'm in it for the archaeology, right? So they're kind of playing him off as this sort of morally flawed person. I thought this scene here worked. In a better movie, it would have been good.
Yeah. So he straps a parachute to the girl, to Jenny, deploys it. She's saved. The plane crashes. And then it cuts to, like, Jenny, like, in the morgue.
And they say to her, I have this in my notes. They say, oh, Jenny, archaeologist Jenny, can you, we're going to need your help in identifying bodies. I have no idea. I'm like, what are you talking about?
These bodies that are thousands of years old?
Or like anyone who was on this plane would have looked like a bowl of grape nuts. I mean, like, there would be nothing to identify.
Yeah.
This is a cargo jet that, like, did a hard crash. Like, identifying bodies.
She's not, like, a family member of all these people.
Did they die on the ground, too? Like, did they hit a village or something?
I don't... Yeah. Well, they did hit near that church.
Maybe crash into
world.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all the civilians were out of the town, though, so I think it was okay.
And it's, oh my God! And then we find out that Tom Cruise just, like, wakes up
in the morgue.
Yeah. In the morgue, and is totally fine.
In a body bag.
And
which he is understandably confused by.
is he? He doesn't seem that. At no point
does he really? Yeah.
Like he just assumes I was knocked out, you idiot. Why did you think I was dead?
I'm gonna jump forward a little bit because there's a point where this movie tries to like shine a light on its own problem, and where archaeologist Jenny later says to Tom Cruise, like, "Hey, how did you get out of that plane?" And Tom Cruise is like, "I don't know." Like, well, that's all we're gonna get for his reaction.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay, so it's implied he died, but was resurrected through the power of the stone or whatever.
Or did the power come to him when he looked at the sarcophagus and he just was unscathed in the accident?
Either way. Okay. Well, I'm not actually dead, and that's just like...
Yeah.
I think you're writing medical journals on this guy.
Yeah, it's like...
The mummy did it.
Yeah. Exactly. And he really is unfazed.
He's more concerned that they can see
about the fact that you were dead, but not you're alive. Other than
you were definitely dead. U.S. military. I kept thinking like the U.S. military is going to be like, "Hey, Washington, we've got a guy in the military. We had a cargo jet just like completely obliterate, and this guy doesn't have a scratch on him. Oh, just let him go. Normal discharge. Okay, yeah. I mean, like,
dead enough that they put a toe tag on him and put him in a body bag.
Right. There's no way that should be the rest of the movie. Yeah. Is like what the kind of like weird scientific studies he's now.
It's just a free jack. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
But here's another thing. He's more concerned about them looking at his junk.
Yeah, well...
Which was played for a laugh.
That's the last moment where levity comes into the movie.
Yeah.
With the exception of...
There's a little moments along the way, but not a lot. Well, now we're introduced to the American Werewolf in London idea, where he's being chased around, followed around by this guy who he killed. And he's kind of serving as his conscience.
Yeah.
Just like an American Werewolf in London. He's like, Hey, Nick, you're still alive, Nick. And he's like, "What the hell? You were dead, what?" And then the guys come in and interrupt him. He's like, "Oh my God, I'm naked. Yeah. How could you have screwed up? I was dead." And it's kind of like...
Yeah. Of the stuff in this movie I didn't hate, it is ripped right off of American Werewolf in London.
The scene in the bathroom and the bar was one of the better scenes of the movie.
Yes.
But again, it's just American Werewolf in London.
Yes. And meanwhile, there's...
It's actually American Mummy in London.
Technically, he's right. It is an American.
Actually,
it's an Egyptian mummy terrorizing an American in London.
Yeah.
An American possessed by an Egyptian god.
American in London. Terrorized by an Egyptian mummy in London.
So at the same time, like whatever the London version of the FAA are going through the crash site near this church, they come across a sarcophagus. The mummy lady who we saw from the flashbacks kind of comes out. She starts...
And she's all like nasty and looks like a corpse.
She's all gross. She's sucking life essence out of a couple of like cop guys who then become zombies.
Yeah. So it's like a vampire thing going on?
Based on other reviews I've watched of this movie, this is apparently ripped off from another movie too, which I think is called Life Force.
Where
like some monster or whatever like sucks the life force out of these creatures and they become like
and they zombies become zombies. Yeah. I saw this when I was a kid. It's a Tobey Hooper movie.
Oh, right, yeah.
So
like that concept is even possibly ripped off from something else.
But it's also like just weird. Like why? Yeah. Like why?
I don't really need zombies.
She needs an army of undead zombies to make her more unstoppable. I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't. Like, goons. Fundamentally, I think this movie wasn't sure if it wanted to be a mummy movie or a zombie movie.
Yeah. I think it was like, hey, zombies are big.
Yeah.
Some zombies.
And really, throughout the whole movie, it never commits to, well, what can she do?
Right.
Right.
Well, she's got a lot of...
She can control spiders, apparently.
Right.
Sometimes.
She slips in and out of ancient Egyptian and English, so she's quite well
English is educated, a simple language, bilingual. So.
It is a simple language.
I think there was a point when I was watching, I was like, I think maybe Tom Cruise during the script rewrites was like, hey, I liked World War Z. And then like left a meeting and people were like, well, all right, you heard him. Because it didn't, I don't know, that just was very, very strange. So meanwhile, totally alive and fine Tom Cruise is talking with the with archaeologist Jenny, who
in a bar.
Who's a bar, and
he's drinking gallons of he's taking shot beer, and she's like,
"You totally survived that plane." Okay.
You totally survived that plane crash. And he's like, "Yep, uh-huh." And he's just like kinda, and I was like, "This is
and she are literally,
funny."
There's a line movie where she's like, "Well, anyway, we've been searching for the dagger of Set," and just goes into like an exposition dump. And I'm just like, "This, what is happening?" Like,
this... Were there any reshoots on this movie? Could this possibly have been a reshoot scene? I don't know. I didn't remember hearing about reshoots.
I don't. The script was heavily retooled. It may have been a rewrite. I think that the bathroom scene that we're about to get to was a reshoot. I think it certainly was a rewrite.
Okay.
Because you know, his ghost buddy.
Just because it seemed very, very exposition-y to like fill in.
Well, and very self-contained.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they were like, "Oh, we need to get that guy back in the movie, and we need to help clear up some plot points," which that scene sort of did, but.
What did they even talk about though? I can't remember.
He kind of explains to Tom Cruise like, "Oh, you're cursed, and." You know, I'm dead. You're cursed. Here's what's going on. Here's who this mummy lady is. Yeah, you're in the ladies' room. And it just somehow that scene has like a pace to it that none of the rest of the movie has. And it's just a dialogue scene. It's probably the best like scene in the movie. And it's just two guys talking in a bathroom.
Yep.
So Tom Cruise leaves the bar and he sees like some weird things in the alley, like some rats, and then he sees like the mummy.
God, yeah.
And it's coming after him, and then all of a sudden, he's like standing in the middle of the road and like he's seeing these things that the mummy's apparently messing with his head. But
why? What? And this is, by the way, the only time in the movie that this happens. It's not a dream sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a hallucination. It's just like. I don't even know what the hell it is.
No, like, it's almost like she's messing with his brain for no reason. But later on, they imply that he's already subconsciously following her orders, and she needs him to be like the vessel for the resurrection of the god Set. So why not just command him to come to her right away?
I feel like Tom Cruise was just like, things. "What if 1,000 CGI rats swarmed all over me?" And they're like, "Cool. We don't have a way to work it in like the narrative. No. Just do it." And it's like, well, you know, because that's what it felt like. It didn't, it felt like they had, like, a deleted scene that they still wanted to use. And they're just like,
"Oh, it looks really cool.
Just use it as a dream sequence." Well, it's not a dream. He's walking in the middle of the street while this is happening. Ah, that's fine. People will forget about it 10 seconds after it happens.
So then he's like, Jenny's being kind of weird. He's like, this is happening. The mummy's out there. She's alive. And now she's like, "Oh, no, that's not possible." Even though she was, like, all about the mummy earlier. Now she's like, no, you're just seeing things. It's just dreams.
Yep.
Yeah. She thinks it's impossible. And later we find out she's part of a secret organization that deals exactly with these sorts of things.
I think
but this one is a step too far.
And this should be, with the organization she's working with, her first concern.
Yeah.
Like, this should be like, "Holy cow." Yeah, that would be number one.
I wasn't
thing.
Sure if, like, she was... like actually not concerned about it, or if she was like trying to throw him off.
Actress playing this role is as bland as possible?
Yes.
Like,
Vanilla Jones.
The script is not doing this actress any favors. And I don't think the direction of the movie is doing this actress any favors, but man, I mean, this is real vanilla stuff coming from.
She seemed confused about what she was supposed to be.
I think so too.
Character was written the least interesting in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even the mummy has more personality than she does.
Well, she's just there to be like...
And I'm talking about the mummy as it's just laying there as a corpse.
The
only person that's really at that level of uninteresting, I think, is Tom Cruise in this movie. I find the two of them to be the most uninteresting in the movie.
Yeah. They seemed
the
to
sidekick
have no chemistry.
Ghost friend, I thought, was... entertaining and interesting. I thought Russell Crowe's character, there was some promise there. And Courtney B. Vance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love Courtney B. Vance?
Yeah,
small part,
great.
But
even the lady playing the mummy was bringing something to it. I mean, whether it was working or not is highly debatable, but she's bringing something to it.
Right.
But, like, the archaeologist lady is like, I mean... just a wet blanket thrown on the already shaky movie.
So Tom Cruise, at this point, is like, "Okay, He's like, maybe I am just imagining this. Let's go see the body.
Right.
He wants to go to the crash site to find the sarcophagus and look inside it so he sees the mummy's body in there so he knows that it's not real.
Right.
Which I don't know if he's just saying that to be like, let's go see it or whatever, but it's they go to and see it. He's like, he flashes in his head where it is, so he's like, I know where it is. Let's go see it.
Which, by the way, the archaeologist should have been like, how do you know where it is? Yeah. Or maybe she even does say that, but that moment passes pretty fast.
You know what? Right before we leave this point, it just dawned on me. Why would the mummy send the Tom Cruise character horrifying visions of rats and bugs and corpses one moment, but then also show him seductive visions of her beautiful self when she was young?
Because it's a horribly written movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the answer.
You're right.
No, she's trying to scare him into obedience or seduce him into obedience. It tones.
Or is she even trying to? I was very unclear what she wanted from Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I mean, if at the end of this movie we had determined that the mummy just wanted Tom Cruise's credit card, I would have been like, well, all right, I guess. I mean, all right. So they go to the crash scene, which seems completely insecure. I mean, it's a major military cargo jet crash that they just kind of are like, let me walk in here. And I don't, this is where it then just really turns into, like, if we're not already into a zombie movie, we get it now as like zombies start mobbing Tom Cruise, and they strap Tom Cruise to a table. Part of this movie also felt to me like Tom Cruise is like a masochist or something. Like, there's a lot of like kinky, weird stuff like going on in this movie.
Well, they're playing that up. They're playing, you know, for their shared universe, assuming that they were going to do it in pre-production, they were like, well, most of the Universal monsters, in fact, all of the classic Universal monsters, with the exception of the Bride and Dracula's daughter, are men. And if they're going to do Frankenstein instead of the Bride, and they're going to do Dracula instead of Dracula's daughter, one of them a woman. So we're going to do
the mummy's woman. I think they're doing Bride of Frankenstein though.
They are. That's the other one that's in production. But I can see
why they're playing that creepy sexual side up. Like, she like licks his face, and it's almost like a rape instead of just she's going to cut him open.
But let me ask you this, because I see what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it. But why did it have to be kinky? Like, why couldn't why couldn't the mummy just have been like a strong woman character who wasn't like weirdly sexualized?
Do you know what I'm saying? It's a good point. They didn't have to take that route.
I didn't understand that, and it sort of is like it's just a weird piece that's tacked on top of all these other things in this
movie. It's supposed to be unsettling.
Oh, because every
woman, supposed to be Freudian and unsettling.
Every woman in the movie has to be into Tom Cruise, so
even
the undead
have
to be into Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's
it's in his contract.
That's true. As I watch more old Clint Eastwood westerns, I realize that that's also a staple of Clint Eastwood westerns, is that every female character in the movie has to be into Clint Eastwood in all of his movies. It's like the more you watch, the more disturbing it gets.
So she's got the knife and she's gonna cut him with it,
right?
But right before she does, she realizes the jewel isn't in the hilt of the knife,
right?
Which they explain is like the knife and the jewel have to be together and then to bring Set to life. And
this is not well explained either. Yeah. In a movie that's not shy to just do exposition, some of this base level stuff is not, I didn't think was particularly well explained, but they sort of do something with that.
Yeah. So she realizes, I don't have the jewel, so I can't bring Set back. And then just then, Jenny comes in and she's like, Nick? like she just walks on in on him doing something
weird. This I kind of like. He goes, Jenny, run! It was kind of.
In a better movie, this would have been a very effective moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the movie surrounding it had worked, because this would have been great.
Literally, she like walks in and there's all these dudes holding him down, and the mummy is like straddling him with a knife, and she's like licking his face, and his shirt's pulled up, and then Jenny walks in, and literally it's like they go,
yeah,
like they've been clapped. It cuts to that one shot, and they're all just kind of looking at her like in this bizarre like sexual position, and she's like, what are you doing?
I will say for like a 15 second sequence there, I was like, that's clever. And Tom Cruise's delivery is funny. And the movie dips into like working and like moments.
Yeah.
There's like a collective 5 minutes in the movie that's entertaining.
You can edit together about 5 minutes.
That are good.
So this turns into a car chase.
Right.
Basically, where they steal an ambulance to get away from the mummy, but then because she's in his head, he ends up driving right back to her.
Yeah.
And then driving away again, and they end up crashing.
With all kinds of, like, it's like a weird, like, zombie fight sequence. They're, like, car, on the side of the car.
That's right.
This is real. The movie has a little bit of fun with the idea. And again, this is a problem that it didn't fully commit to being a zombie movie, but that, like, the zombies are essentially made of, like, paper mache.
Yeah.
And, like, the weird problems of, like, Tom Cruise kicks one and his, like, foot is stuck in it. Yeah. And there's,
they do that. Yeah.
I did like the moment to when they're, because, like, one of the mummies gets, or zombies gets on the side of the truck and, like, he drives into a tree, so it's, like, half a mummy or half a zombie now, and it's, like, crawling and it gets on him. And Jenny's like kicking it from the other side, and Tom Cruise is going, "My face, that's my face." He's kicking her in the face, or him in the face.
Yeah,
that moment I thought was funny, but legitimately.
Yeah, you're right. That was a funny, and that's where like the tonal stuff is weird. Like it couldn't. This movie's really frustrating too.
But then this whole sequence, like they have these moments where it's like, because then they crash the truck or the ambulance, and he gets thrown out of it, and she's like still in it. And they see the mummy coming towards them, and like Tom Cruise like picks up a branch or something, and Jenny's yelling like kick her ass, and then she just like hits him or something. He goes like flying, and it's like another like moment where they're trying to have like some
fun with it.
Humor, some fun within the action sequence,
and
which they give him sequence props for not being too dark and trying to make it fun.
Yeah, that if they could have put a better narrative around some of these scenes, like the movie could have worked. It's not like a total meltdown of a movie, and that's what I think. What makes it even more frustrating is it's not far away from working, but it's not. But it doesn't.
So, the mummy's about to like kill him, and then all these guys just come out of nowhere.
Yep.
And like tranquilize her and then tranquilize him and take Jenny away. And this is where, for me, the movie stopped working.
No question.
Yes.
Yeah, no question.
Because they take them to some like secret place.
It's basically MI6, but for monsters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this finally is reintroduced to Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Yep. Who then tells you who he is, which is he is Henry Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll.
And they've got little you see like the creature of the Black Lagoon's hand in a jar.
Yeah,
and like a skull with like vampire teeth. And
I just felt like this the movie slammed on the brakes here to introduce these dark.
Well, yeah, this is the point where it's like, oh, now we're gonna build this whole world.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
And it
And it's crazy. So they have this long conversation between Russell Crowe and Tom Cruise about like what's going on. Like, we fight evil and, you know, this is our thing and blah, blah, blah. And you're cursed. And okay. And I'm like, okay. Like, all right. The pacing of this scene is dreadful.
Yeah.
But it goes on. And then we also get that same scene again. Like, there's literally two scenes where Russell Crowe explains to Tom Cruise, we're here to fight evil. And I'm like, why are we getting this a second time? He just explained this to us.
Well, this is a line from Bride of Frankenstein, which is, welcome to a new world of gods and monsters.
Yeah.
Which didn't really make sense because it's not a new world of gods. Apparently, monsters have been around for a while.
They even refer to them as old gods.
Yeah, and the mummy has been some evil monster since 5,000 years ago or whatever.
Right.
So in the Bride of Frankenstein, makes sense because like they're creating monsters and so it's this new thing, but they just kind of wanted to make me angry.
And in the world of this movie, I'll ask this, why did Tom Cruise even meet Dr. Jekyll? Why is all this, with what they're going to do, why don't they just immediately be like, hey, can put that guy in isolation, lock him down. Mm-hmm. We're going to be stabbing a knife into him imminently. Like, you know what? Like, it doesn't. Like
it almost should have ended this way.
Well, I was going to say,
like they if it's a darker movie, give it a darker ending. He defeats the mummy and then he gets captured and then he's in this underground facility and Russell Crowe is like, we're keeping you safe.
Yeah,
why? Because it's a new world of gods and monsters and you're not ready for it or whatever.
Yeah,
and
then the door closes. They should have brought this into the, you know, introduce this at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Instead of in the middle of the movie.
Yes.
And then you stop the mummy thing for a bit so you can talk about other things.
Yes.
And it's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Then down at the end of the movie, then it's leading into the next Dark Universe movie or whatever. Then it's different, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would totally agree. And there's a weird scene where Tom Cruise talks with the mummy in a scene that I will spend the rest of my life trying to understand what the motive of the scene was. There's like Well, because let's describe. He's talking with the mummy, and the mummy's kind of like, hey, help me out. I'm not so bad. I mean, you know, my dad was kind of a D-bag. Yeah. And then, you know, and you're, the way the scene is framed, you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, maybe this mummy is getting the raw deal of it. And then Tom Cruise is like, wait, no. You murdered your family. And mummy basically drops like the Harvey Weinstein like, excuse and is like,
yeah,
those were different times.
Well, I like to take... They begin this scene with him speaking like this ancient Egyptian to her. Like, all of a sudden he knows this her language.
Right.
But then, like, in the middle of it, they transition to speaking English because reading subtitles is hard.
Right.
So then they're speaking English. So then you're just assuming they're still speaking Egyptian, but that you're just hearing it in English.
But then later on, when the mummy is talking to Jenny, you get that, as you mentioned earlier, that simple language line.
Yeah, then she knows English all of a sudden. But
so was she speaking English with Tom Cruise?
No.
So she's speaking ancient Egyptian with Tom Cruise that, for audience sake, is slowly transferred a 13th Warrior style into English. So, okay, that's fine. But then later, she has an English conversation with an English-speaking character and refers to the fact that she is speaking in English.
Yeah.
I think the main point of this scene with them two speaking is that she kind of, which doesn't really go anywhere, because then she's like...
It goes nowhere.
Yeah, because she kind of is convincing him that, like, they're going to hurt you. They want to kill you.
Right.
That they're not good for you. So help me and we can get out.
This
But then it doesn't go anywhere, because then the next scene, Russell Crowe's like, yeah, we're going to kill you. It's not like...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, why?
You're totally dead.
It's totally mean.
He's like, oh, if you just asked that in the first place.
You would have died in the plane crash anyway. Come on.
You want to know if we were going to kill you? Well, yes, we are. Yeah.
That's not a secret.
I thought we all knew that. Yeah. But it's like hints of a more interesting movie about a possession or like a weird psychic link or something like that.
This stuff I was kind of interested in.
And then, they do nothing. To say they do nothing with it, I mean, literally, they do nothing with it. It ends after this scene.
Yes.
It didn't really come up before this scene. It never comes up after this scene. Correct. It's just like, enjoy this scene if you like this idea.
Here's where they kind of do the bit with the weird eyes thing that I kind of liked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an aesthetic, but still, I thought it didn't need to be there except to make her look scary. I thought it was effective design.
Yeah.
That's all. From an artistic standpoint, strictly from an artistic viewpoint, I thought it looked cool.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, the only reason I can think that they did it was because later on, when he's like switching back and forth between, you know.
You can tell when he's set and when he's not. Yeah.
But, So he goes to Russell Crowe and has this conversation like, are you going to kill me?
Right. Like, they have the same conversation, except it ends with, are you going to kill me?
Yes. He's like, we're going to kill you. Because it's not even that they're going to kill him. Like, they want, because they're looking for the jewel. So they can put it in the knife, so they can bring
Set into him back as Set, and then kill him as Set to eliminate. Yeah,
to eliminate, to kill two birds with one stone. We need you as the vessel, the killing vessel, so we can actually kill Set.
Look, we can't kill him unless he's here. So we need to kill you so that he's here, so that we can kill him and you.
So at this point, I think, have they found the jewel yet?
They haven't found it yet. No, and at this point, the mummy is getting one of her army of bugs to crawl inside a dude's ear.
And at the same time, Jekyll is losing control. Because earlier they're introduced, he's got like a syringe that he injects himself with whatever to keep him from turning into Hyde. Mm-hmm. But he's losing control here and he doesn't get it in time. And he turns into Hyde and they lock Tom Cruise in the room with him because he doesn't get out quick enough.
I'm going to say right now, I thought I was going to hate this scene. I thought I was going to think it was so stupid. And it is still completely misplaced in the movie.
Yes.
And it is still, frankly, unnecessary.
It would have worked in a different movie.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
Could have.
But I sort of have to hand it to Russell Crowe
that he does
give something in that.
I liked his Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
I just feel like there should have been a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde movie before this to introduce this character and get there. But
It doesn't fit in this movie. Yeah. You're right. That's what it really is. Yeah. Or
almost be like his penance for being bad in his movie is you have to now be the steward of this organization that will help to make the world a safer place. You just got to keep Hyde in check.
They wanted some kind of reason. Hyde
like play both sides. Like maybe he sells over to Dracula in a future movie. I don't know. There's potential here.
They wanted some sort of reveal for the middle of the movie. Like, turns out, you know. Yeah.
I also would have liked the idea of seeing just Dr. Jekyll. Like, if they're really going for this movie universe, that we just see Dr. Jekyll in this movie and we don't actually see Dr. Hyde, and that's kind of like a tease that, we're certainly going to see Dr. Hyde at some point, but not, like, let's do steps, but then it's like, we're just going to throw Dr. Hyde in here, too, and it's like,
like,
we might not get another chance.
Yeah.
Like, to go back to an early episode, Batman versus Superman,
Let's not.
Yeah.
Believe me, nobody wants to go there. You remember me during the Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman discussions. But right in the middle of Batman vs. Superman, it's like, here's the press kit for the Justice League movie.
Right.
That's basically what this was. Like,
there may as well have been
We can't slowly tease it. We've got to catch up to Marvel as quick as we can, so we've got to shove everything at you at once.
There may as well have been like a computer scene where he like double clicks and it shows like a guy with a big cape like drinking blood, then he double clicks. There's like some guy in the bayou and a giant fish hand.
You say that. I will say that compared to Batman v Superman, this was a lot more subtle and better done than just her going through a press kit.
Yeah. I was worried there were going to be more direct with it.
Remember the goofy Spider-Man sequel that we saw where they just like all like of a sudden at one point it's like, oh, look, there's a Dr. Octopus costume and a Vulture costume. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
That's what I was worried they were going to do.
Movie two, movie three, movie four.
So they're fighting. Jekyll and Tom Cruise are fighting, or Hyde and Tom Cruise are fighting, and basically Hyde just saying like, "Hey, let's break the mummy out, and we can rule the world. You know, you can become a god." He's like, he's like, "I don't want to hurt you," but then he's like slamming him into tables and stuff. At the same time, the mummy spider has gotten into the ear of one of the technicians, who then frees her because they're like injecting her with mercury.
Yeah,
and he like turns that off, and then like frees her, and she starts turning people into zombies. And so there's all these zombies running around, and here's where we mentioned it earlier before the podcast, Nick did, that there's a reference here to the Brendan Fraser mummy. Because she picks up a book and she hits one of the zombies or somebody in the face with a book. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I was thinking, like, what is that? That book has to be something. Like, I was thinking, like, the Necronomicon or something. Yeah. But then she throws it on the ground, and there's like a shot of it, and it's the book from the Brendan Fraser mummy.
Okay.
Where they have like the weird key thing and open it and
yeah.
And I was like, why would you reference that movie? It has nothing to do with this one.
A much better mummy movie.
Surprisingly, it's much better.
You're right, because they hung on that book. I didn't know what the deal was, but they hung on that shot a little too long.
As soon as I saw
it,
I was like, are they saying like this? So this isn't the first time a mummy has.
Yeah,
attacks the world. And
are they saying that the Brendan Fraser mummy movies are included in the Darkverse?
It might be. That's the original Dark Universe movie.
So there's that would make three mummies if you count the Dragon Emperor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser needs work. So.
So now the mummy. This turns into a very generic sort of like superhero world domination movie, as the mummy is now just walking around in London, like sending like a sandstorm through London.
Yeah.
For what? For
trailer shots?
Yeah, I don't like why? Like what?
Epic shots to pad out the chick bringing chaos to the city.
There's I'd say about 40 minutes left in the movie. Uh-huh.
There's a ton there's of time.
It could have been wrapped up in five.
The mummy basically just needs to get to where the stone is. Oh, because we should have mentioned, while the mummy was being, right before she was broken out, she saw on a monitor, they found that stone that goes into the dagger that everybody needs.
Which was in the knight's
Templar.
His casket, which we saw in the beginning of the movie. So it was down under the tunnels or whatever.
Real, yeah. So basically, the mummy is just like, I need to go there. There's no point for her to be like, I'm going to go there in the most loud and obnoxious, dust-filled way. But she could have just been like, hey, where's the subway? Or like, where's the tunnel? I just got to get over. Like, this is so dumb. Why is she terrorizing a city when she's just like, I just got to go get that rock?
Just get in the tunnels and
She was also a little bit reminiscent of the Enchantress from the...
Oh, that's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Generic film.
generic evil. Because I think this scene had to be put in because her goals are so uncertain, and her that they are like, oh, we have to show her as a threat to people. Although she's really just a threat of people being like, oh my God, my clothes are so dirty. The dry cleaning bill from London on that so week is like horrendous. And Tom Cruise and the archaeologist are also racing over to where the stone was found.
Yes.
Because if they somehow figure out if they destroy the stone, the curse is broken.
Because she can't bring Set back. So then she'll just ignore them, I guess. So just be like, okay, I'm done.
Well, would she become powerless without Set? Or would she still be this powerful sorceress that would threaten the world?
I don't know.
Because like, the resurrecting Set seems to be... would give her more power, but if she's quite good at conquering cities on her own, what's the point?
I don't know. I mean, there's a point in my notes here where I'm like, I'm not really sure who the protagonist of this movie is. I'm not certain it's Tom Cruise. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the archaeologist.
Yeah, sort of.
But, like, no one's really moving the plot forward. Right. Like,
yeah, because it just seems weird in the middle of the movie to make the villain... seem sympathetic. You know what I mean? They kind of make her a protagonist for a bit
when she's chained up. Killed a baby in the beginning,
right? But when then she's chained up and
you
she's
said
like,
that oh, was no. okay.
Yeah, Jack. Yeah.
I did. No, I said
you said that was good.
I said it was standard for a movie about like.
No, you said that was. You said time. Something like that was okay, or that it was good, or
Jack Esterbrook, infanticide supporter.
yeah. Well,
it's an unpopular opinion, but yes, no.
Yeah.
Little bastard wouldn't stop crying. That's not funny.
It's just so strange because
I apologize. That's not funny.
Like you normally hope in a movie that characters are doing things.
Audio's going to surface in 10 years when Jack is running for mayor of Auburn.
I didn't really support infanticide. It was a specific circumstance.
Those were different times.
Those are different times.
Yeah.
20 minutes ago, it was a different time.
If you understood the political dynamics of that situation,
you would understand what we're talking about.
But this, so in this, like normally in a good movie, you want things that characters are moving your story forward and their motivations and their actions are propelling a story forward. Mm. In this one, no one is really propelling it forward because nobody seems to know what they want or what everyone is reacting. No one is actually like advancing it.
I think it seems weird because Tom Cruise doesn't want to stop the mummy. To stop Set from coming back and ruling the earth. He just wants to not die. It's basically, it's a very like selfish, like, I don't die, you know, I just don't want to die. So if I do this, then I won't die.
Right.
But
kind of supposed to be his character arc, but it wasn't done very well, is that he's kind of this douche who only cares about himself, and now he has to learn how to self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
But here's the weird thing. He does, at times, seems like a douche.
Yeah.
And at other times, it's like, wow, seems like an okay guy.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, in the end, there is no self-sacrifice.
Right.
No, he just gives more to himself, really, in the end.
He becomes a god.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you haven't seen the whole movie.
But he can't date the girl? Is that his sacrifice? Is that really?
She was dead anyway, so.
I don't think he was really that interested in dating her anyway, so.
Yeah.
But, like, because.
They establish him as not really into the whole monogamy idea, I think, so.
Yeah.
But there's a moment kind of on this where, in a few minutes, where she's like, oh, no, you are a stand-up guy. You saved me in that plane. You put the last parachute on me and let me go. And he's like, I thought there was another parachute.
Which I got a good chuckle out of that. I thought there was another.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, you're still kind of a douche. But so he's seeing his friend again. His friend's like, I know where the jewel is. Let me take you to the jewel. And he's like, okay, let's go. And they like go into the tunnels.
And then he says, then I'll deliver you to my queen or whatever. And he's just like, what?
And he's like, wait, what?
Yeah, like I was a little murky on this as well. But because there's a point in this movie where I also have notes. Everybody seems to want the same thing. Russell Crowe's team wants to have this dagger go into Tom Cruise. The mummy wants the dagger to go into Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
His friend wants the dagger to go into Tom Cruise. I'm like, what's the problem? Yeah. Like, what's the problem here?
Let's all share a cab.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic when you find out who actually does stab Tom Cruise when you think about it that way.
That exploded my brain when I'm like, oh, he's doing the thing everyone in the movie wants him to do?
Yeah. We wasted a lot of time getting here.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to hurt. That thing looks rusty. It doesn't look particularly sharp.
Well, so, all right, so he gets there, and he and the archaeologist, at one point, there's an underwater sequence. Yeah. They're swimming around.
Well, there's zombies everywhere because the mummy has resurrected all the Knights Templar. And
why would the Knights Templar be like, we obey a mummy?
I don't know if she just has control over the dead or what. Or, yeah. Or if they're, I don't know.
She has like Lucy-level powers.
But it's, she can brainwash the living by looking at them. She can brainwash the living by summoning insects to them. She can resurrect the dead as spirits who were killed by her insects. And she can touch dead things and bring them back to life. And she can suck their life force and turn them into zombies.
And she's super strong, like Superman level strong. Absolutely. But she's not invulnerable to a grappling hook gun, I guess.
Mercury.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So the archaeologist lady Jenny dies or drowns.
Well, she drowns, yeah.
She drowns.
She gets pulled under by the mummy.
Right. And Tom Cruise is like, oh, man. All right. So that archaeologist lady is dead, and I'm here in this tomb with the mummy, and
he's in the mummy's tomb?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for stating the fact. They're in London?
That was a very weird delivery of a factual statement, but okay.
And we just kind of get this weird fight with Tom Cruise and the mummy.
So here's another thing. Again, they're fighting over the knife because she wants to stab him. Right. And he doesn't want her to stab him.
Right. And then,
so he steals the knife.
He steals the knife, which, by the way, this is where I was like, this is an Uncharted cutscene because Nathan Drake is a pickpocket and a thief in the games. And I'm like, yes, this is. Because they've never established Tom Cruise as an actual thief.
He says it a few times, I think.
They verbally talk about it, but nothing has reinforced the most important moment in the movie that he is able to, you know, essentially pickpocket a knife from a mummy. Right. That's a really dumb thing to say out loud. But, you know, but he gets the knife. Everyone has been wanting him to stab him with this knife. And then he does stab himself with the knife.
She convinces him to be fair. But because he's like about to break the jewel. And then she's like, wait, you can bring back. She says, like, you have power over death or something. And he looks at Jenny. He's like, oh, I could bring her back.
Right.
So then he just stabbed himself.
But for some reason, she's upset by this. Like, she has to stab him for it to work? I don't get it.
I don't know. I was hoping Cody or someone could talk me through the next 3 minutes of the movie.
She's like, please don't break the stone. Give me the knife to stab you, and you can bring your girlfriend back. And he's basically like, no, screw you. I'm going to stab myself. And he does. And she's like, no! But then it's like, then she has this little staring contest to try to take control. So what's so different? Whose hand can stab him?
It ultimately, in the end, it didn't matter.
Yeah, I know.
I think
because then it's
so the thing everyone wanted all movie long does happen.
Yes,
good guys, bad guys, medium guys.
Guys who climb on rocks.
And so he does it to himself. He becomes a living god, and then we do get the ending that I think we all assumed we were going to get all along, which is he kisses the mummy to death. Which, like, I think is what happened. That is what happened, right?
Yes. I mean, that's how they took out Boris Karloff.
This was
not in the movie, just in general. Boris Karloff died that way. Yes.
This is the strangest death in a movie we have watched since Colin Farrell banged a lady to death in Winter's Tale.
Oh my god!
But I mean, Tom Cruise kisses the mummy to death.
Yep,
he sucks her life force.
Okay, so that's what they're saying.
He sucks her undead life force, I guess.
He's sucking her undead life force.
Well, what else is it?
Science checks out.
Sure.
I ran the numbers. It checks out.
So
a mummy who was undead goes back to being really undead, I suppose? Okay.
No, super undead.
Well, they left the body laying there, implying that she could come back in a future installment for the team-up movie.
Okay.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, this is... Okay, and then he brings the archaeologist back to life, but he's, like, in shadows.
Mm-hmm. Even though he looks basically the same, but they don't really. They, like, hide his face, so maybe he doesn't.
I
And well, his no, eyes then, do the weird eye thing.
And then we're going to see him moments later.
But his face is covered, though. You don't see his whole face, though,
yeah. Oh, that's true. You don't see his whole face.
Oh, for a brief second, you see he's got, like, this crazy, like, jaw of, like, monster teeth, I think, yeah. Right?
Because he brings the girl. I didn't see that.
Because okay. Did you say because he brings the girl back to life?
Brings the girl back to life.
By, like, yeah. Yelling in her face. And at that moment, he, like, grows these teeth. And he's like, ah, he looks like a monster.
Oh,
and
he, okay.
What, yeah, scares okay. her awake? And she starts coughing out the yeah. water that's in her lungs? That would have certainly killed her because yeah. she'd be brain dead that long.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, I mean.
Well, again, yeah. she was Magic. Dead, but he has power over life. Over life and death. It was very weirdly worded each time they
yeah.
brought it up.
Yeah.
The power of life over the dead, or I don't know.
Yeah.
And at some point, there's a scene with, like, Russell Crowe where he's like, yep, we'll have to see what happens with that guy.
Like, we were going to kill him, but yeah. Yeah. maybe now we won't.
It's basically like the scene at the end of The Dark Knight where it's like, you know, Gordon's talking over, like, the shot of him driving away on the, and he's like, he's not the hero we deserve, whatever, and it's that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
he's going to search for a cure, and we have to, I can't remember what he's saying.
He's going to go to Transylvania, and he's going to go to Switzerland, and he's going to go to, you know, wherever the Wolfman is, and he's yeah. going to go and well, he's going
to
find all
yeah,
these.
Yeah, basically,
different...
they're entrusting him to go find him, find a cure for himself. A cure from basically being a god.
God. Yeah,
I was I'm like, sure, what? Given the history we've been given of this character, he's really motivated to... Yeah. To rid himself of godlike
yeah,
powers.
Because Russell Crowe's even like, he's going to see if he can break the curse. I'm like, not a curse. Not a curse anymore. Nope, he's just a god. Yeah.
He's basically a nice guy with mummy powers, so oh, then, one could assume he's going to do good deeds. He brought his friend back.
Yeah, I was going to say, they show you he brought his friend back at the end.
Yeah.
His friend's like, hey, I'm glad you brought me back, but what are we doing?
Yeah. And he's like, don't you like fun or something? Or adventure?
What's your sense of adventure?
Yeah.
What's
riding out our contract.
Yeah. And then it's like, that's it. Oh, yeah, and they're just roaming the earth like Bill Bixby in an episode of The Hulk. You know, like.
That explains the sad music at the end.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, does this town have a cure for my godness? Nope. All right.
Some corrupt sheriff like knocks him over and he turns into a mummy creature. Then he's got to move on.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's so wrong it's right, but I did do a whole bunch of research on where the Dark Universe stands now.
Oh, God.
I don't think it does stand.
It looks... So, Alex Kurtzman, who directed this, and Roberto Orsi?
I think it's Orsi.
Like, those guys who were going to be the architects of the Dark Universe have left or been kicked off of one or the other. So, they're gone. One movie in, and this has fallen apart. The Bride of Frankenstein movie is still... in development at Universal, though the guy who's making it, the guy who made the Gods and Monsters James Whale movie is the one doing the Bride of Frankenstein movie, and he is now saying it is in development but is not connected to anything else.
Okay.
And Johnny Depp was going to be
part of Invisible Man.
Right. Invisible Man. And in 2017, I think if you're a Johnny Depp movie, you're in limbo. Yeah. I mean, I think its status should be considered questionable.
Yeah.
So it all seems like this is falling apart before it even really gets started.
Because it's like, as a fan of the universe of monster movies, it's just so wrong. Like, this was not... Remake the Universal Monster movies if you want to do it.
Right.
They're gothic horror movies. I mean, right. They're pretty straightforward, pretty simple. They don't have to be action movies. Yep. They don't have to be, you know, $500 million movies with Tom Cruise and whoever, you know what I mean?
Now they all want to be a shared universe franchise.
Yeah, but they could do that. Do it like they did in the first place, you know? Do some movies and then, like, Wolfman meets Frankenstein.
Universal pioneered the shared universe, about it, by doing that stuff.
But here's the problem that they're having now. DC's having the same thing. Marvel... They thought, maybe this will be something. They just kind of threw Sam Jackson at the end of Iron Man.
Just in case.
Yeah, you know, what the hell. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, with Marvel, it was far more organic. Mm-hmm. Whereas DC, Universal, they're like, no, we've got a plan for six before we even start filming on one. And it's...
But they don't. But,
so everything's on that first one. That first one has any sort of trouble.
That's built in, though. I mean, you could just say we're remaking Universal monster movies. It doesn't have to be this shared universe. They don't have to come up with a shared universe.
Then you remake Frankenstein meets the Wolfman,
and establish them, and then maybe connect them.
Yeah,
and they can be, you know, inexpensive, relatively horror movies because horror is doing well.
Yeah,
just do some horror. You know, do your own thing. It doesn't have to be.
I would have loved to just have like a great modern day version of like a gothic Frankenstein or a gothic like creature Black Lagoon, and maybe there's little tidbits in there or like occasional like glimpses of things where you're like, oh, maybe there's going to be something bigger going on, and maybe they come together in an actual good like Frankenstein meets Wolfman reboot or House of Frankenstein style movie. But like, yeah, let it happen. Like, just take it one movie at a time, guys. Right. Like, yeah, that was the bummer for me, because I'm a sucker for those movies, and I'm a real sucker. When I was a kid and I was obsessed with them, one of my favorite ones was Frankenstein Meets Wolfman, which is actually a pretty cool like monster meetup movie, and it's done pretty well by Universal at the time. But it's also based on the premise of you were comfortable and familiar with these two characters before they came crashing into each other.
Yeah. It builds up. Would you like to see these two kids? Hey, guys, you want to see these two fight? You're like, yes, please.
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, they have to be inexpensive. You know, when you do these huge giant movies that you have to expect to be a blockbuster to work, you're not going to have... You
spend $200 million, and unless it rakes in nearly $1 billion at least... What?
Right.
It throws the whole thing.
The idea of it being a horror movie, why not make it a horror movie?
Right.
Why not have the mummy kind of sort of win, or the mummy almost wins and then loses, but then Tom Cruise loses too? Like, make it do something different than what Marvel is doing.
Yeah.
Make people get killed. Make it R-rated. Make it more intense.
A horror movie,
Make it a horror movie.
Just something. I've always just wanted, because they keep doing Dracula, they keep doing Frankenstein, they keep doing them poorly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like,
was I Frankenstein in the Dark Universe?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh God, no.
Is that even
a
Universal film?
I don't even think that's Universal. Not. I think that's a Lionsgate movie.
What about, I know it's really, it's a lot older than these films, but what about the Del Toro Wolfman? Was that?
That is a Universal movie, but is pre the idea of a Dark Universe.
Okay, so they were just old enough where it's out of the range.
Yeah.
Okay.
This movie also suffers a little bit, I think, from like, the modern trend of everything has to be like supercharged, you know, like sort of like what's the new Star Trek 2 suffers from a little bit, where it's everything is like, it's not enough that they need to get the sarcophagus on a plane. There's a sandstorm going in. Are they going to make it? You're like, guys, just like, we can't just get this mummy out of here. There's insurgents coming in and guns and like, guys, like, just not everything has to be like frantic all the time.
Yeah, that's why I worry about like Bride of Frankenstein is one of my favorite movies, and like I'm curious to see what they do with it without doing a Frankenstein first, because Bride of Frankenstein, I mean, the bride's in it for 2 minutes at the end of the movie,
right?
It's not, so I'm like worried that now the Bride of Frankenstein is going to be shooting lasers out of our fingers and destroying New York City or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
creating a vortex to pulling another dimension into ours.
There's gonna be a laser coming from the sky and stuff. And it's like, you guys just don't get
armies of generic killable CGI goons.
Yeah. Right. I do feel better that it's from
they all fall over when she gets killed.
The gods and monsters guy, I think makes more thought provoking and
But who knows how much is up to him though?
Yeah.
It's just the original mummy was. He got caught trying to bring his beloved back to life, so he got mummified, came back because of a curse, and then spent his time trying to bring her back to life. You know, just because he wanted his woman. You know, it was simple.
Right.
Some people died because he had to kill some people, but it's just it's too much these days with movies.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do a is it so bad it's good? Nick, let me start with you. Is this so bad? Is it worth watching for people?
In 2 years, when it's on TNT one afternoon and you got nothing better to do, sure, go ahead and watch it, but don't go out of your way to watch it.
Yeah. Jack, your thoughts?
No, I don't think it's so bad. It's good. It's basically, it had a lot of potential. It's just kind of mediocre action schlock. There's some really cool moments. The airplane scene, for one, the airplane crash was fantastic. Couple of the jokes. Apart from that,
Yeah.
It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I would say that.
Yeah.
And I had more fun with it, but I think watching it as part of this Dark Universe thing makes it worse. Like if I watched it 10 years from now and it's just a standalone movie because they didn't make any of those other ones, I think it's okay as a standalone movie, but
That's,
I wouldn't say so bad.
It's that's good. Very true. Yeah, because yeah. if it's that's that makes it so much more frustrating is the fact that they're trying to cram a shared universe down our throats.
Right. Because again, the Brendan Fraser Mummy was just its own movie. It's just a mummy movie. Didn't have anything to do with any other Universal monsters. And it was fun.
It's. I was surprised. I mean, I think this is at like 16% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I'm surprised it was that low. I mean, I could have seen like 30-40% of critics kind of liking this. Yeah. I mean, it's
not an utter failure. It's just kind of dismal and
frustrating.
You know what it could have been.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could have been a lot better.
Yeah. Again, I think they really tie their hands by making it the first movie in this universe, because it's like people are watching it thinking like this is the first entry into this thing.
But they have no plan.
The other movies aren't going to be good if it's like, you know what I mean? So they're judging based on that. And it's.
You know, it's a really, like, I can't believe this is a crazy idea that someone wouldn't be like, hey, you know what'd be good? Let's make a really good gothic Dracula movie.
Yeah.
Like,
instead of a CG fest like they all are.
Like, why is that, like,
how is that a hard?
Nutty idea? Yeah.
And but you know, and Dracula's been in so many movies, you can basically use whatever story you want because the story's been changed so many times.
Yeah.
You can base it on the book directly or you can do your own thing.
Yeah.
Just make it good.
Yeah, you just know? Make it really cool. This is one of the more frustrating movies I feel we've ever. It's not the worst movie we've done. We've done many worse movies, but frustration level wise,
just what it represents pretty high. Is frustrating.
All right, I think this wraps this one up. We'll be back very soon. We've got we're really teasing way out because we're not going to get to see it, or I'm not going to get to see it till it hits some form of home video, but thankfully it sounds like Justice League is the movie we wanted it to be.
I haven't read any reviews or anything yet, but
the reviews I've read have been very funny, and just it's clearly like a movie we're gonna definitely gonna want to tackle for this. You can't slow a terrible franchise down. So somewhere down the road, not coming right up, but down the road, that will be in the mix.
Absolutely.
I think that's it. All right, we'll see you here next time. Bye.